Amen. Amen. We love y'all too. Amen. I want to talk to you. I may not preach, but I may teach you something pretty cool. Who was the oldest man in the Bible? But yeah, he died before his dad. You forgot his dad was Enoch, didn't you? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and what a trick. That's just Bible. Amen. I want to talk to you a little bit about that. Genesis chapter 5, verse 21. Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. When you read this, do you really read this? When you're reading the Bible, when you set out to do your Bible study, do you really read when these people had kids and how long they lived? Let's be honest. Does it really matter to you? Or do you just kind of breeze through it and want to get to, you know, you want to get to the part where the lady takes a nail and drives it through the guy's head and sticks him to the ground, that kind of stuff, right? Because this kind of stuff. All right. Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son, and he called his name Noah, saying, "The same shall comfort us concerning our work and tool of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." You can go ahead and sit down. I want to revisit something that we talked about a long time ago. I don't know if you remember this or not, but when you go to the Bible and you go through the lineages of Adam, when they would go genealogies, they went the son route. They would always go the son's route when they followed genealogy. And not all the sons even would get mentioned. Did you notice? It's like he had Methuselah, and oh yeah, he had some other sons and daughters too. I mean, how would they feel? You know, Methuselah, something special. And but when you look at what God doesn't do anything haphazardly. So if you remember this, this is great. You'll like it again. If not, this will be news to you. But Shane, the first one, Adam. If you look up the name Adam in Hebrew, it simply means man. Pretty simple, right? Pretty good way to call him. Reason they called him Adam, he was man. Not only was he man, he was the only man. And ladies, he was a perfect man up until the fall. So if you say there's never been no such thing as a perfect man, there was for a minute. And y'all know what happened to him. Anyway, we'll leave that alone. Keep going, preacher. Adam. Adam's name means man, right? Simple. All right. So he has a son. His son's name is Seth. Seth's name means appointed. I don't know who would want that name. What's your name mean? Appointed. You know, I mean, but watch what happens. Seth has a son. His name is Enosh. His name means mortal. I mean, you can go to a dictionary, a Hebrew dictionary, and you can look up, because when these people named their kids, they named them for a reason. And I want to show you something really awesome today. He had a son, Kenan. His name means sorrow. I wouldn't want that name either. Mahaliel means the blessed God. He has a son. He calls him Jared. His name really means shall come down. That's pretty interesting. He has a son. His name is Enoch, which means teaching. Enoch has a son. His name is Methuselah. His name means his death shall bring. He has a son. His name is Lamech. It means the despairing. He has a son named Noah, and his name means rest and comfort. You heard him say that. He said he's going to give us rest and comfort. So if you put all these names together from Seth to Noah, man appointed to mortal sorrow, But the blessed God shall come down, teaching that his death shall bring the despairing rest and comfort. You can't tell me that was an accident. There's no way that that was an accident. But we've talked about this before, but I want to start there at Methuselah. His name means his death shall bring. And I've often wondered why Methuselah, why he got to live so long. The Bible says that a day is, unto the Lord is like how long? 1,000 years. So I hold to the belief, and if you have a different belief, you can talk to me about it. But I believe that when God said to Adam, the day that you eat of the fruit, you'll surely die. That at that moment, he died spiritually. But I believe that it's not recorded anywhere in Scripture where anybody lived to be 1,000 years old. Because if a day is 1,000 years to the Lord, they die within that day. Methuselah is pushing it at 969, the oldest man that ever lived. He was pushing that right to the brink. And my question was, why did he get to live to be so long? Why him? All right, I want you to notice a couple things. God put this in there for a reason. He wanted to let us know something. There's many people that teach that the flood, the preaching of the flood, did not begin with Noah. That the preaching of the flood and destruction was coming had been taught for quite a few generations. And the reason they believe that is because the Bible tells us that when Enoch had Methuselah, he began walking with God. Did you notice that? There was something about having Methuselah. He was 65 years old. He had Methuselah. After that, he walked with God for 300 years. And something took place when he had that son. And the Hebrews teach that God had given Enoch a prophecy. And he told him that he was going to destroy mankind. And he told him that Methuselah's death would bring that. So that's why he named him this. He named him, his death shall bring. So if you look at this, Methuselah is 187 years old. If you need a calculator, you can get it out. When he has Lamech, right? Lamech's 182 when he has Noah. So that makes Methuselah 369 years old when Noah, his grandson, is born. He's 369 years old. Watch this. Genesis chapter 7, verse 6. Genesis chapter 7, verse 6. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. So if Methuselah is 369 years old, are y'all confused yet? Everybody good? Everybody good? If Methuselah is 369 years old when Noah is born, and it's 600 years to the flood, then that means Methuselah would be 969 years old the year of the flood, which tells us that that prophecy must line up. You see, he said, his death shall bring. When Methuselah died, that opened up the prophecy so that the flood could come, so that God could destroy all mankind. That may not do anything to you at all, but what it does for me is it tells me how merciful God really is. Because he says, this man has to die before I'm going to destroy all mankind. And why did he live to be so old? I'm going to tell you why. Because God is merciful. He could have killed him off at 500, but he wanted to give man a chance, and he wanted to. God loves us so much that he prolongs judgment as long as he can. God is a judge. We understand that. We must understand that God is holy. But let me tell you something about this holy God. I believe the reason he hasn't came back yet is because he's still giving the church an opportunity to reach out and save people. Tracy, this shows me the love of the Father. His love is so great that he pushed it right to the brink. I don't want to destroy these men that I made. I want to show them mercy. I want to give them that mercy. So year after year after year, and there was one, his name was Noah, and he found grace in the sight of God. Do we realize how powerful God's love really is? He was appointed. His death was going to bring. His death was going to bring something. His death was going to bring. Commercial break. His death was going to bring judgment. So when his death brings that judgment, Darren, God prolonged it for as long, almost as long as he could. Now, we read some more things about this Enoch. Hebrews 11:5 says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. That's what it means in Genesis when it says, and was not. He was translated. But before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. How many people in here have pleased God this week? Raise your hand if you pleased God this week. Raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Y'all just raising y'all's hands because other people did? Yeah, I get on board. Why do we feel like we don't please God? What do we have? 8? We had 8 people raise their hand that pleased God, and they're all arrogant. I'm kidding. They're not. Why do the rest of us sit there and say, "No, nah, man, not me. No. I may have made him ashamed." How do you please God? It lines up. It lines up that pleasing God is walking with him. Because the Bible says that Enoch pleased God. And it also said Enoch walked with God. So if Enoch walked with God, how many people like to go walking? Raise your hand if you like to go walking. Walking in the woods, wherever. You just like to walk. How many people like to walk with somebody else? How many people like to walk with people you don't like? How many people would like to go on a walk when you and your spouse are in a debate? When you're in an argument with your spouse, you don't say, "Hey, let's go on a walk together." No, you tell them to take a hike. That just came to me. You tell them to, because you don't want to walk with somebody unless you want to be joined. You don't want to walk with somebody that you don't like. Well, get this out of your head. God likes you. How do you know he likes you? Because he likes people. How do I know he likes people? Because he pushed that judgment to almost as far as he could push it. So how I please God is by walking with God. So how many people have been walking with God this week? Raise your hand. More people. But you don't think you're pleasing God. The reason is because we've got a devil that points out every bad thing you do. And if he don't point it out, most of us are self-destructive anyway. We point it out to ourselves. We tell ourselves how bad. Our heart is like a meter, ain't it? Your heart is like a meter. When you do good, you can tell. Man, what's all that swelling up about? I did good. The problem is when you do bad, you know what happens? Yeah, anybody ever seen that little video where that little kid pokes that other little kid? That little girl and that little boy goes, "You poke my heart." Has anybody ever seen that? You ever seen that? That's the cutest thing ever. He's like, "You poke my heart." That's what it feels like. It feels like something pokes you in the heart. The Bible says, if my heart condemns me, man, my heart condemns me sometimes. Jesus don't condemn me. He convicts me. There's a difference between condemnation and conviction. If you say, "Man, I feel so condemned." There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. So if my heart condemns me, God is greater than my heart. So when my heart says, "I'm not pleasing God," mercy steps in and says, "I got you covered. Oh, and then grace steps in and says, I'm going to pick you up and teach you how to love him and please him. Man, all you got to do is walk with God. That's all you got to do. The problem is, Jason, we appreciate God's mercy so much that we almost overuse it. You say you can't overuse it. His mercy endures forever. It endures forever. You cannot overuse God's mercy. You just can't do it. Well, let me tell you what I mean by that. There are times when you face temptation that you could overcome that temptation, but you don't because you know that he's going to forgive you. And you say, Lord, y'all know my word for this. Lord, we don't forgive me for what I'm about to do. We prepent. We don't repent. We prepent. We do it before. God, I'm about ready to do this, but on the other side, I'll ask for forgiveness and we'll get back in relationship. Do you think that's pleasing to God? He's given you power to walk in victory. Enoch pleased God. Darren, he walked in a way that was pleasing to God. He was in relationship with him. The Bible says, how can two walk together except they agree? The only way to walk together is to agree. So listen to this. If you are walking with God, that means he wants all of you. You have to agree with everything he says. He's not a democracy. God has never called me up and said, Damon, what do you think about this? Never. He's never asked me how I felt about this. And we are also worried about our feelings. We're also worried about how we feel. Man, I liked, me and Brother Eddie was listening to that. I love the way Vody Bachman said this. He said, oh, God don't want you happy. You mean he took his son and crushed him at a hill called Calvary because of sin, but you, he wouldn't want unhappy. Think about that. Think about that. God wants you to have joy. I understand that. God wants you to have peace, but God wants you to walk in truth. He said, I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth. Walk in truth. Here you are. We're all walking in a lie. To all those people that didn't raise your hand, including me, that you haven't pleased God this week, shame on you. You're his child. And because you are his child, I watched some of you worship tonight, and you said, yeah, let me tell you what's pleasing to God. Worship, that you walk in with him. Oh, he is seeking somebody that will worship him in spirit and in truth. I want you to notice he's not seeking preachers. He's not seeking singers. He's not seeking Sunday school teachers. He has the robe of a seeker on, and he's looking for somebody that'll worship him in spirit and in truth. How do you worship him in truth? You agree with him. You agree with him. Man, I hope you get out of here and you walk out of here and you say, man, I'm a child of God. God's mercy's great. God's power's great. I'm going to walk with him. The Bible says you're more than a conqueror. You need to get up and look in the mirror every morning and say, you are more than a conqueror. You are a child of the King. You got to walk today. Walk with him. Because let me tell you what happens when you walk with him. In his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Man, when we walk with him and we're in his presence, Leslie, there's something that takes place in us. Man, do we understand how awesome God really is? He walked with him. So he wants your choices. He wants your calendar. He wants your thought process. He wants your verbiage. He wants what you speak. He wants what you say to others. He wants what you think about yourself. He wants all of it. Because let me tell you something about God. He's merciful, and he wants what's best for you. Even in your messed up time, he comes in and says, I'm going to take care of this because I want relationship with you. Are y'all following how great God really is? Man, if we get this concept of mercy, Brother Eddie, our whole life will become pleasing to him because we will be, when we're satisfied in him, he's glorified. How many people in here had a sibling? And when they hit you, you went to tell. And they do something to themselves. They said, well, you hit me too. Did you ever have one that said, oh, I'll just tell on myself? Yeah, you're going to sugarcoat it, is what you're going to do. I ain't letting you tell on yourself. Hit me upside the head with a bottle and you're going to say, oh, he slipped. No, let me tell. You know what we do sometimes? We tell on ourselves. We tell on ourselves. We tell the devil what gets us. Now, we may not say it to him, but we say it to somebody else. And when we tell him, do you think the devil can read your mind? But let me tell you what he's a master of, watching your reaction. He plants a thought in your head. And then he watches what you do with it. I mean, it's pretty obvious when he plants a thought and you're like this, then all of a sudden you're like, I know you don't do that. But man, when that happens, he's watching what you do. But he said, casting down all imagination, bringing every into the what? To the obedience of Christ. Every thought, bringing every thought into captivity. You want to walk with God? Capture those thoughts. Because let me tell you who's giving them to you. The enemy. There's three things that we fight in this world. The world, our flesh, and the devil. And let me tell you who's the worst one of all. Your flesh. The enemy is in me. My greatest enemy is in me. The world has a problem. They do. They try. They push. Oh, by the way, here's your newsflash. When you walk with God, you will walk countercultural to this world. When you walk with God, you will walk in the opposite direction of this world. How do I know that? Because he commands the world to repent, which means they need to turn around, which means they are going the opposite direction that he is going. So if I'm walking with him, don't feel bad if this world don't think you're so awesome. Praise the Lord. Any questions? Jude. Verse 14, I'm almost done. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam. I love this. I love this that he points out he's the seventh from Adam. Do you know why he did this? Why he wanted you to know that he's talking about this Enoch? Because there was another Enoch. And it was Cain's son. He's making sure that you don't think this is that Enoch. There wasn't the Enoch, the seventh from Adam. First of all, Enoch caught Jude's attention. Jude has one chapter in the whole Bible. I mean, if you only had one chapter to put in the Bible, what would you write about? He felt like this was important enough to write about. Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of thee, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. Cain's Enoch had a city named after him. Does anybody in here have a city named after you? A street named after you? Anything? A bad habit named after you? Like, man, don't do the Sam. We don't have, Enoch had a city named after you, after him. Now watch this. This guy didn't. But let me tell you what his name was tied to. He walked with God. You got to make up your mind. Are you going to be popular with the world and let them know your name? Or are you more concerned about God knowing who you are? And when you get up in the morning, he says, there they are. They're going to go walking with me. They're going to talk with me. I may never get a city named after me or a building named after me. But Dave, I'm glad to know that my name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Man, how awesome. He said he prophesied. Watch what he prophesied. To execute judgment upon all. This is where it gets a little tricky. This is where I'm going to lose you. And this is where I'll close. Because you've been so excited so far. But watch what happens when you walk with God. When you walk with God, you hate sin. And watch what happens when you walk with God. You tell others about what sin can do in their life. Oh, are you listening? Well, I love them. I really don't want to be a bother to them. I don't want to be a hindrance to them. But watch what he starts to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed. That's a lot of ungodliness. And of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Do you understand this? That nobody wants you to tell them about their sin. But if you love people, you will tell them there is a cure for their sin. Darren, I'm afraid we live in a generation that doesn't really know what this Bible says is right and wrong. How do you fix that? Well, one, you need to be filled with the Spirit. Because you know what the Spirit will do? It'll check you. It'll mess with you. It'll convict you. Why does God convict you? Because sometimes... anybody ever had a kid that ran and they'd run and hide on you? Anybody? Taylor? Wasn't it Taylor? Where'd Tracy go? Wasn't it you? We was in. Was you in Gabe's with Taylor when she ran and hid on you in the clothes? Y'all know how scary that is? Y'all know how awful that is? When you can't find your kid, man, I'm telling you, we woke up one morning, we couldn't find Taylor. I mean, we lived in a single wide. It was a straight shot from one end to the other. I mean, this thing had two bedrooms, a living room, a kitchen. That's about it, wasn't it? Was that it? Was there anything else? And a bathroom. Straight shot, man. You could stand in the living room and see all the way to the other end. There's a little bedroom off to the side. I got up. You know how you do as a parent? You always check to see if your kids are breathing. Does anybody else do that? I mean, there's times, Josh, I'd get up in the morning and my eyes, I'm trying to adjust them to make sure and I'm looking. I'm like, oh, I don't see no movement. And it's not them, it's me. I'm like, okay, she's breathing. She's alive. Get on. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? I got up and I went in there and I checked on her and she wasn't there. And I said, Tracy, where's Taylor? She said, she's in her bed. And I said, no, she's not. She's not there. And she was like, well, she's got to be in here somewhere. We looked everywhere. Like I said, it didn't take long. Tracy looked at me and Tommy, she said, oh, no, we left her in the car. And it was cold outside. I went, oh, no. So I ran out, and she wasn't in the car. The car wasn't there, so we know she didn't take it. She was only two, one, three. How old was she? She was little. And then finally, we had this cabinet. It has a name. Yeah, cabinet. It had a door. And the door was open, and there was a little tiny recliner that we had bought for her. And somewhere in the night, she had got up and climbed in that chair and had the door pulled back against it. And I will never forget what happened when we laid eyes on her. Do you remember? We opened it up, and there she was. I was like, there she is. And Tracy went, ah! Do you understand how God feels when he looks for you and he can't find you? As much as I love my kids, it's not even close to how much he loves you. Do you understand that when he's ready to talk to you and walk with you and you're not there, it's when he walked in the garden that day, Sam, he said, Adam, where are you? It's time for our walk. It's time for our communication. Kevin, he wants to talk to us, not just every once in a while, but he wants to have communication with us. He will prolong his judgment. Even though he's holy, he'll wait. He'll leave a lot for just a possibility. Come on, musicians. I want to walk with him. Because, man, when I realized why that one guy lived so long, because the year he died, the flood came. And I heard a preacher say this one time, and it's messed with me ever since he said it, and I don't even know how much truth there is to it, but it messed with me. He said, I can't help but believe that when a sinner stands before Jesus in judgment, and he says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I can't help but believe he will say that with tears in his eyes. Not with a forceful but with a heart that says, I never knew you. I tried to know you. I wanted to know you. I gave you chance after chance after chance to get to know me. Do you know him? Now that you know him, watch this. This is going to change. How many people want to do what's pleasing to him? We start out by walking with him. In the morning when you get up, start your walk. When you get up, start your walk. God, I want to talk to you this morning. I'm not waiting. I'm not waiting on the world to come against me. I'm walking with you. Because if we're not careful, the day will take over. But man, when we pray, things change. Things change. Let's walk with him. Let's walk with him. God's merciful. So are you pleasing him? I'm walking with him. Every day I'm walking with him. I'm tired of repenting all the time, preacher. Win the battle. Win the battle. Man, you give an altar calls all the time. We always have an altar calls. Win the battle. Win the battle. Come in here, say, there's probably some stuff I need to repent of, but I won. I won that one. And you know what? You win every one of them. You can win every single one of them. You got a temper? Let me tell you how to fix it. Pray. 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 It gets the best of you? Repent. Start praying again. Lose the battle? Repent. Tell that person you're sorry. Because you know what the truth is? Nobody can make you mad unless you let them. And really, it's not what they say. It's how you view what they say. If you called me dumb, it wouldn't bother me. I know better. When the devil tells you something, just say, man, I know better. I know better. I know better. I know better. Let's stand. Let's stand. Let's make a commitment. Let's make a commitment tonight. If you forgot to pray this morning, shame on you. If you forgot to read your Bible this morning, shame on you. That's coming from me, not God. That's coming from me. as your pastor, I love you. Shame on you. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to do better tomorrow. You're going to do better tomorrow. You may even start tonight. You may even go home, Tyler, tonight and say, you know what? I'm going to read my chapter tonight. I'm going to read my verse tonight. I'm going to read it tonight. I'm going to do it now. I'm going to make a difference in my relationship with him. I want to please him. Because what happens when you please him? Your grandson might find grace. Are you listening? Man, your family can be touched through you. Amen. Let's sing. Let's pray.